Morning.
If you don't know me yet, I'm Pastor Michael Lin for the Chinese congregation of this church. I'm going to say in Chinese in case some of you don't speak English.
大家好，如果你还不认识我，我是中文部的林志环林牧师。很高兴今天在这边跟大家分享神的话语。
It is my pleasure and honor to share God's words with you all today. Last time I preached here was on my first day here, March 6th, I believe. So it's been a while that I have the opportunity to speak to the Chinese congregation. Today, the title of the message is, We are one in Christ. We are one. We are one family. We are one person. We are all in one in Christ. The passage is from the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. It's a simple passage that I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Perfectly united in mind and thought. In the past 28 years, I've had a professional career in the United States. I think I consider myself as one of the lucky, fortunate person who came from Taiwan 30 years ago, finished my master's degree at the ASU and also Sun Devils. And then I found a job here. I think God prevented me from going to California, especially the Bay Area, to work. Because the week before my interview, we had an earthquake, the Northridge earthquake. The Bay Bridge completely went down. So the company called me, well, you can't come here anymore, so let's wait for another maybe a month or so before the traffic is allowed. Luckily, I found a job here at 29th Avenue and Dunlop, the Siemens. In the past 28 years, the one thing I've learned that's probably the most valuable to me, that which I didn't really have opportunity to learn before I came here, was teamwork. The teamwork. So what I've learned is when the team made a decision on a strategy or direction, they're going to march forward to that. Even though there might be some noises in the team, that's inevitable, right? We always have our own opinions, different ideas, but those are the minor details as far as we consider. So we told the team, we have a goal, let's pursue the goal together to achieve the desired objectives. You know, this is something that I've learned in the past 20 years. Ever since I started church, ministries or serving God in church, I've been wondering, where does this teamwork spirit or attitude is applicable, is suitable for church life? What do you think? Yes? No? Maybe? Largely? Not really? I will talk about it. Right? You may have different opinions. Our church retreat, as Gary just reported, it's going to take place this coming weekend. And this year's theme is Connection Zone. I really like this title, Connection Zone. This is the area we all come together. We connect together. Not only do we connect together, we also connect to God, connect to the kingdom of God. So today's message, we are one in Christ. It's going to be the appetizer. Okay, we're going to enjoy a wonderful, a rich spiritual festival this coming weekend. So I'll say today's message will be just a appetizer for you, okay, before the main course is served. I know that yesterday I saw the email from Larry. I was very impressed with the menu. And I was told that you still have opportunity to go there if you haven't signed up yet. But anyway, today we're going to focus on the God's Word from the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Last Sunday, we have a business meeting I think most of you who attended the meeting will consider that was a very successful meeting.
We approved some critical business propositions regarding our church's future.
And not only did we approve those critical subjects,
I was also told the participants made a record in the church recent history.
And then I was wondering, how many people actually attend the business meeting and approved my interview?
But that was a joke.
But actually, when I was there, I saw the crowd, especially when everybody come together, pulled our hearts, including our hands together, to approve those business propositions. I was really impressed. I was really glad. I really rejoiced at that moment. Wow.
Wow.
It was a great moment for our church. I think for those of you who attended should make that, you know, should remember this moment. Now for those of you who didn't have a chance, now we still have future business meetings. We welcome you to join us. About 20 years ago, I was a young believer. I just professed my faith in Christ for only a few years. I attend Sunday school, but didn't really have opportunity to serve in church in any capacity. One day, an elder or deacon of God approached me, say, "Hey, Brother Michael, why don't you join us? Join our church ministry. You know, think about what you can do for the church, for the Lord." I was very honored and valued with that invitation. But also I was very nervous because I never done it before. And I keep hearing about serving church. It's hard, isn't it? So I approached to my pastor at that time. I said, what is that one thing I need to keep in mind all the time when I serve in church, serve God with others? If I ask you that question today, what would be that answer? What is that one thing we need to always keep in mind constantly, when we serve with others in church? What is the one thing? So the pastor told me, unity, unity, and unity. He repeated that word 3 times. 10 years later, I had the opportunity to go to take part in a short-term mission in China. So we went to a kind of very rural area. And about 30 house church leaders gathered together, and we were teaching the Bible preaching to them, and we also have a kind of open forum for people to ask any questions. So several of them raised their hands. Interestingly, they all asked the same question. "Teacher Lin, what do we have to do? What is the one thing that we need to do when we serve God in church?" Luckily, at that time, I have the answer in my pocket, so I answered the question the same way. I said the unity. I repeated unity 3 times to them. But they all answered, they all followed with another question. How? You'll be surprised to hear that. How? How do we unite together in Christ, in the body? We all know that, right? That's our knowledge. Like today's hymn, the song, the scene that we said we should get together as one body of Christ. But the question is how? Now you may know that my wife loves bacon, right? She loves bacon. In fact, last night she made another handmade bread for our breakfast this morning. She does that all the time. So what are the key ingredients for making bread? Or making any kind of bacon, bakeries. What are the key ingredients? What's the number one? Flour, yes. What's the number two? Yeast, thank you. What's the number three? Liquid. Well, you must have read my sermon. You're right. Flour, yeast, liquid, water, butter, right? What else? salt, yeah, sugar maybe, right? Or anything else. You may put any kind of flavor, right? Artificial flavor or any kind of dry fruits, whatever, right? Raisins, anything to bring up the flavor. Yeah. You're right. Then the question is, what are the key ingredients for Christian unity? Well, what are the key ingredients for Christian unity? So we're going to look at this question, this $1 million worth of question from four areas. Number one, the source. To keep it simple, right? Source. Where do we come from? And actually, that's the question. Why do we have to come together? Why do we have to unite together? Second, perspective. We all have different views. We all have different views, right? We have a freedom of thoughts. Our perspective. Number three, relationship. We don't live all together, all by myself, in a cage. We live in a community. We all said, we all told, we've been told we have to value others' opinions. How do we value their opinions? How do we value opinions mutually? Number four, that we achieve all the above and beyond all these things. What is the purpose of Christian unity? What is the purpose for us uniting together, being united together in Christ, in the body of Christ? So that's, first of all, let's look at the source. So on your handout, there are some blanks. You can fill in that. Our common source is from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our common source. And He is the source of all life. We all know that. In the beginning of the book, the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The origin of us, every one of us, the mankind, is not from monkey, as you know. It's from Jesus Christ. It is written in the Bible. So Apostle Paul tells us to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is the great giver of our unity. What is the moment? What is the energy? What is the source that drives us to be united together? It's Jesus Christ. It's His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. To fit into our church's setting today, whether you are American-born, whether you are Chinese-speaking, whether you are English-speaking, whether you are coming from China, or Asia, or Taiwan, Hong Kong, whether you are born here natively, regardless of our ancestors, regardless of the skin of a color, regardless of the language we speak, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. That is Holy Spirit. That is the source. The source is above and beyond us, ourselves. Second, we look at the perspective. What we think and what we say. Perspective. This is where we have to share views based on the truth. And we need to agree with one another in truth. Agree with one another in truth. So what kind of agreement is implied here? So Apostle Paul said, you all have to say the same thing. That means we have to think the same, say the same, we have to agree all together. And it is hard. It is hard, right? I mean, I have to admit, right? There are sometimes during just a summer, just a church retreat planning, I was copied on some of the emails. You know, I have attended different church retreat before. I have planned the church retreat before many times. And this is the first time I take part of our church retreat. I think the leadership from Larry E. But I don't know him that well before. And actually, in fact, I didn't even know him, right? I saw him standing on the platform leading the worship. But I don't know him that well. How I know him? Through all the emails. And so, based on how he responds to the questions. And I look at it, wow, it's just like some of my co-workers at work. It was straight, right? And it's very direct. Get to the point. Which I like it. But if he's a stranger to me, if he were not the brother or sister in Christ to me, I could feel offended by some of the messages. Just like I offended others before. Right? Well, of course, email is not a great communication means. But because of Jesus, because of God, right, we can easily come on the same page just because of that belief. And but then let's look at the church of Corinth, right? The Corinthian church. The reason why Paul said wrote that letter to the people of that church, there are many reasons if you study the book, that book. But there's one point. It's listed in the 1 Corinthians chapter 1:12. Paul points out the problems in that church very specifically. He said, one of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Jesus. So I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas. Some people say, you know, these are not enough. I follow Christ, bigger than all of you, right? So people claim that they have a superior interpretation, understanding of the scripture. They want to demonstrate their pride, demonstrate that what they have is superior, that is better than others. And this pride caused the conflict, the friction among the people of the church. So Paul told them, you need to speak the same. But Paul does not want to see uniformity in the church. On the other hand, he does not want to see the split within the church due to different viewpoints or opinions or personal experiences or practices of on scripture. He wants a common declaration of allegiance. He wants people to be able to say amen to each other's differences. He would want the church member to say, I am of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. But I honor them all in their different strengths. And most importantly, we agree with one another in truth. Amen? Paul says that all the saints, that all of you, every one of us, are to be equipped until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. In other words, the unity we pursue is shared views based on the truth, and we can agree with one another in truth. Over the last 17 years, I've been doing the ministry, the campus ministry, for the students, young students from China, but also the visiting scholars from China as well. I know that in the early days, all those visiting scholars from China are 40, 50 years ago. That was the first time they saw the Western world. They heard about, they were educated about how different the Western world is, but this is time they saw it. So they were very anxious. Actually, they want to know what brings the United States so prosperous, so wonderful technology, so lead, so advanced, That was 10 years ago. So they come to church. They come to church. They want to learn Bible. So I share the Bible. I share the gospel with them. Right? Of course, we have a God. We have a Jesus Christ as our Savior. And He died on the cross for us, for our sin. And His salvation is for everybody. And we have a book and so on. As you know, all the stories about, all the truth about the gospel. So those visiting scholars, most of them are older than me. They respond to me. I said, "Teacher Lin, thank you for telling me about the Western culture." Oh, they consider that the Western culture. We have the same thing in China. We have the similar belief system in China. I said, "Really? Did you also go to church?" I was so excited that I think they are very similar to us. I said, no. We are all Communism Party members. We don't go to church. But we have Chairman Mao. We worship him. We have a Marxism. That's what we study. And also, we have the Little Red Book. The quotations of Chairman Mao. That's what we have to study, we have to meditate, we have to memorize, we have to live by every day. Don't they like your Western culture? But very end, they made a big sigh. Unfortunately, the younger generation don't believe those things anymore. That's why. Because the things, the person that they talk about, the doctrine they talk about, the book they read, they memorize, are temporary. Only Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Only His words will last forever until the end of this age. So we talk about Jesus Christ. We talk about truth. We know why. We know all of us are born out of Jesus Christ. We are the newborn through the Holy Spirit. We are the newborn in Holy Spirit. We have the Bible. We have the truth as our basis. But if you just mix these two together, do they make Christian unity? They may be necessary elements or ingredients, but not sufficient. Just like if you by mixing flour and yeast together in a container, you can't make a bread, can you? No. What do you have to add? At least some water, right? Water will melt the flour and yeast together, making two different kind of things into one. And they grow together within that. And that water, it is God's love. So next we talk about our relationship. In the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, "There will be no divisions among you." The word division means a tear. A tear on your cloth. If today you take your shirt and use two hands to break it, that's called division. You break a nice cloth, that's division. When one of your favorite shirts got a rip on your back, or even on the front, by accident, how do you feel? You probably will feel very awful, right? This is one of my favorite shirts. Are you going to wear it in public again? You probably won't wear that anymore. You try to maybe try to sew it together. Maybe you say, you know what? I'll hide it. I'll maybe donate it. Or use it for other reasons. That's called division. That's called a tear on your cloth. But I know today this parable may not be applicable anymore because we love distressed jeans, right? We love the jeans with the ribs and holes. But those jeans, those holes and ribs are made for a reason, for your wallet. They are more expensive than the intact ones. But for most of us today, we come to church, we don't wear ribs, right? Ripped cloth. We don't wear broken shirts. So Apostle Paul is not interested in imposing a uniformity on the congregation. He wants to make sure that the community of Christian faith does not suffer a tear in the fabric of its life. Otherwise, this tear will hinder your faith. Think about it. Think about the churches around us. Think about the churches you have heard about that who have gone through the divisions. It will take them years to recover. I personally have gone through one church. It took them at least 5-7 years to slowly recover. The breaking was so fast, but recovery takes a long time. And some churches couldn't even recover from that kind of hurt and wound. So the fabric of the body should be interwoven by the abiding relationship in Christ. That is how we become one. That is how we come together in Christ. By God's love. Only by God's love. Does it work? Next page, please. In the Gospel of John 15, chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I am in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. The Bible says, let us be known as the followers of Christ by the world. It is not because we are members of Northwest Chinese Christian Church. It is not because we are affiliated with Southern Baptist Convention. It is not because we all wear a cross on our neck. It is because we have this relationship with Christ. This abiding relationship in Christ. And we can become one only by God's love. So a lot of people, Some couples ask me, Pastor Michael, could you help me? Could you help my marriage? I ask them, what breaks down your marriage? The common answer I got was, what? Husband and wife, they always point fingers at each other. They are all believers, but what they do is point fingers at each other. They may have the Christ. They may have the same Christ. They may have the same Bible. But they could not live on the truth together. And they could not have this relationship. So then I drill down to the questions. Their personal relationship with God, with Christ. And as I peel the layers, I peel the onions, I found out the deep inside every one of those couples and husband and wife, Most of the time, the root cause of their conflicts and their frictions is because their relationship with God is not so well. So there's a cycle there. When their relationship getting worse, they stay away from God. They lost their faith in God. And because of their loss of faith in God, it worsened their relationship further. Same thing for our believers in church. So the most important, one of the things that affected our unity is our personal relationship with God. So we must have this abiding relationship with God first, so we can unite together. And that is why the Bible says, we love because God first loved us. We have to know this. We have to remind ourselves constantly, God loved us so we can love others. God doesn't hate us. God loves us so that we shall love others. Now, as we know, we are all coming from the same God, the same Spirit, the same truth, and having this abiding relationship with God. And the next question is, what do we do? What do we do with them? What do we do with this unity? So Paul says, we need to have a joint goal. This same thought in mind means we have a common objective, common goal in Christ. So the next one is a joint goal. Our goal is to glorify God. We pursue Christ-centered purpose together, and that is to glorify God. The Christian unity is designed by God to have at least two purposes. One is being a witness to the world. Second one is glorifying God. So being a witness to the world, you say, why do I have to do that? The 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 23 says, I do all this for the sake of the gospel. It's because of the gospel I do this, so that I may share in this, so I may share in its blessings. So I may share the blessings from God with others. That is the first reason why we unite together. And say, yes, I will do that. But today, most people will say, what's in it for me then? I share blessings to others, then what do I get? I become this channel. Do I keep anything? And you will get it. So the 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 25 says, we do it to get a crown that will last forever. It is the glory of God on the day His return. The second point of Christian unity, second purpose of Christian unity is to glorify God. So Paul says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such a harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. So the ultimate goal, the most important reasons we come together, we unite together, is to glorify God, is for the glory of God. Last Sunday, we had a successful business meeting. I was still thinking about it. I've been thinking about that this whole week. I was very thankful that for Pastor Stephen Yee to accept this associate pastor calling for our church. One of his key roles going forward as this associate pastor is to spearhead our church's mission, serve others. I'm really excited that we have a new leader that put us together, to bring our church together to humbly serve our Lord and His people in the kingdom for the glory of God. So now I'm asking you a few questions. Are you willing to support and participate in this great commission? Is there anything that you can do to make the body of Christ, us, all of us, stronger? Is there someone in your small group that you can bring along to work on it together? This mission, this goal, requires more than Pastor Stephen Yee. It's more than three of us, Pastor Terry and me, and Pastor Stephen, come together. It will require all of you, all of us, come together as one body in Christ. Would you come together as one body of Christ? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful time. May your Holy Spirit touch upon every one of us. May your Holy Spirit fill in every one of us. Revive our heart so that we have the zeal, we have the heart, we have the willingness to come together to serve you as one body in Christ. May your Holy Spirit be with every one of us. Bless our everyday life. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.